Chapter 22. Saiger, the Duke's old armsmaster, had come south since. As he said, the Duke had left him nothing to do at home.
"You must be some quicker," he greeted Pox, "or by what I hear, you wouldn't be alive. Here, take these bandas for your recruits. Who've you got?"
Pox told him.
"Volia's quick, but not strong enough yet," he said. "Her shield works wretched. Kerry forgets things. Keep after him. Jennet's is the best of those. Just needs practice and seasoning. Sim's very strong, but slow. Not clumsy exactly, just slow. I'll check on you later."
Pox collected her little group in one corner of a yard that grew more crowded every minute. With swords alone, they looked fairly good. Sim hung a fractional beat behind the count, but it hardly showed. She had them pick up shields. Now the drill grew ragged. Sim slowed more, and Kerry kept shoving his shield too far to one side. Volia couldn't seem to get hers high enough. Pox had them pair off, still working on the counted drill. With this stimulus, Volia improved her shield work, but Sim stayed slow. Kerry made touches he should not have, and Sim failed to take advantage of Kerry's bad shield work. Jennet's still looked good. Pox moved around them, watching carefully at every stroke, and talking herself hoarse. Finally, she stopped them for a water break.
"I suppose," she said, after a drink had restored her voice,
"that Saiger told you, Sim, that you are too slow." He nodded. "And Volia, if your shield is down around your ankles, it won't do any good, right?" Volia blushed. "And you, Jennet's," she went on, "you may be the best of this group, but you have a long way to go."
"Saiger said I was coming well," said Jennet's.
Pox grinned. She'd hoped for a challenge. It would be a welcome change from talking. "Well, let's see. Maybe I was fooled by watching you with another recruit. The rest of you, don't sit. You'll stiffen in the cold." Pox drew her sword, took Volia's shield, and faced Jennet's. He did not look as confident as the moment before.
"Come on," said Pox. "Get that shield up, where it'll do you some good. Now start at the beginning."
Jennet's began the drill cautiously, as if he thought his sword would break on contact. She countered the strokes easily, without any flourishes, murmuring the numbers as a reminder. He put more bite in the strokes, and Pox responded by stepping up the pace and strengthening her own. She did not deviate from the drill, but in a few minutes, Jennet's was sweating and puffing, and she had tapped his banda half a dozen times. She stopped him. "Jennet's, you have the chance to be very good, but right now you're about half as fast as you should be, and half as fit. Your speed will come with practice. The way we're going to drill will take care of the fitness, too. Now walk around and catch your breath while I try the others."
Pox was pleased to see that Jennet's no longer looked sulky, just thoughtful.
She beckoned to Volia, handed back her shield, and took another. Volia was very quick, and her strokes were firm, but she could not keep her shield high enough.
"Is that arm just weak, or did something happen to it?"
"It was broken once by a cow. I've tried to strengthen it."
"You'll have to do better. If you can't keep that shield up, you won't survive your first battle. What have you tried?"
"Saiger suggested some exercises. I do those when I remember them."
"You'll remember them," said Pox grimly, "unless you like the idea of dying very young. Right now, while you're resting, raise and lower your shield 50 times and go this high."
She pushed the shield until it was as high as she wanted it.
"Go on now. Sim, come here."
Sim, a ruddy young boy with a husky build, moved flat-footed. Pox pointed this out, and he tried to stand on his toes instead, moving even more stiffly and slowly.
"No, Sim, not standing on your toes. Just lift your heels a little. Did you ever skip?"
She knew as she asked that he had never skipped in his life, and he shook his round head.
"Let's try again, then."
Sim had a powerful stroke, but so slow that Pox could easily hit twice for each of his. Nothing she said or did made him faster, and she gave up in a few minutes. At least he was strong and tireless. Kerry was the last, and his main problems were sloppy shield work and a very short memory. At least he kept getting the sequence of drill wrong. Several times Pox had to pull her stroke to keep from hurting him badly. He moved exactly the wrong way. She led him through the tricky parts, again and again, then turned him over to Jennet's.
"No variations," she said. "He's got to do this right first."
Pox returned to Volia and Sim, and had them pair up without shields. When they started, she began her own exercises while watching them. All around her, she heard the clatter of blades and shields, the busy voices of instructors.
"What do you think of them, Pox?"
It was Saiger, buckling on a sword belt.
"Planning to take my job?"
Pox grinned. "I didn't know it was so hard to teach. My voice gave out. But they're about what you said. Sim's impossibly slow. He's dead if he doesn't improve."
"True. Want to go around?"
"Gladly," said Pox. "Swords only or shields?"
"Both. Clear your group and give us room."
Pox told her recruits to break, and they stepped away.
"Ready?"
asked Saiger. Pox nodded. They began with the same drill the recruits knew, but they picked up the tempo smoothly until it was much faster. Saiger began hitting harder. Pox followed suit. Then Saiger left the drill sequence, skipping in for a thrust, but Pox countered it and drove him back. Pox circled, looking for an opening. She tried to force Saiger's shield and took a smart blow on the shoulder. In the next exchange, she tapped his chest. They circled and reversed, like a pair of dancers.
"You are a quicker," said Saiger. "You're doing well. But do you know this?"
And with a peculiar stroke Pox had never seen, he trapped her blade and flicked it away. Someone laughed. Their encounter had attracted more watchers than her recruits. Pox glared at Saiger, who was bouncing toward her again. She had her dagger out now, and the watchers were very quiet. With good shield work and her long reach, she kept him from touching her, but she couldn't reach him. She thought hard, catching stroke after stroke on her shield until she remembered something she'd seen a blue rider do. Suddenly she pivoted to his shield side, jammed the edge of her shield behind his, and threw her weight toward him. Saiger staggered to the side, and her dagger stroke was square in the back of his banda.
"Ha!" he cried. "Enough! And where did you learn that little trick?"
Pox grinned at him.
"Here and there, you might say."
She was breathless, and glad for the rest.
"Here's your sword, Pox," said Roth.
She looked at the respectful faces around them and took the sword, checking it for damage. Saiger drove the others away and came back, patting her arm.
"That was good, very good. Show me slowly, please."
He stood in front of her, and Pox demonstrated the pivot again. She did not explain that she'd seen it used on horseback and had coaxed the blue rider to show her on foot. "It works best if you have the reach of your opponent," she said. "You have to get your shield up above his shoulder, and then as the pivot continues, you've got it here." She locked the shields together. "And your right hand is free for the backstroke, and it's hard for him to strike over the shields."
"Is there a counter?"
"Yes, it's easy. Just step back. Don't follow the pivot. Thing is, it works best against someone who thinks he's got more weapon. The start of the turn looks like a retreat. If he follows it, you've got him. But if he stays back, you can't lock shields."
"Very good, very good. Come this afternoon, and I'll show you that little twist that cost you your blade. A favor for a favor."
"Thank you," said Pox. She turned to her recruits as Saiger moved away. They looked at her with more awe than before.